The title of our message today is Our Father. Our Father. I've been praying all week, Lord, what would you have me to preach on today? And I just kept coming back to Our Father. And what really is pressing upon my heart today is taking care of life. Now you might say, Our Father, He takes care of our life. He truly does. But I want you to think with me for just a little while today of taking care of life and whose life are we talking about? Now if you're a father, you've got some children, and surely you've got to take care of their life, don't you? But do you know that when I get through today that I'm not spending too much time on how that we as fathers should raise our children or anything like that? What I want to impress upon today, and God really has laid it upon my heart, is this: your life where it needs to be so that you can be the proper father. So that you can be the proper father. What kind of father are we? I want to take our text lesson today from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. And Brother Doug, former pastor, he was preaching the other night, and he read the Lord's Prayer. A lot of people call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually the model prayer. And in that model prayer, many of us as athletes over the years, we gather around and we start out that Our Father who art in heaven. You know, that prayer there, that's kind of what I want to get to today. But before we get to that, I want you to understand where I'm coming from tonight. Taking care of this life. First of all, you got to take care of your own life before you can take care of the lives of your children. And there's something very, very important that must take place in order for you to properly take care of them. First of all, Jesus said, take heed that you do not your alms before men. Now, what's this got to do with anything? What's an alm? An alm is a kind act. We can go through this whole life as a father and do kind acts. And you know how many fathers and families measure kind acts? How much I can labor my fingers to the bones to give to my children stuff that they don't appreciate anyway. You might say, well, Brother Ron, that's pretty harsh. I'm a real person. I try to speak with reality. I'm trying to convey something that's more important than giving your children stuff, kind acts. But Jesus said we're to do that. He said it's a good thing for you to do that. That's what He says here. He says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms or thy kind gifts, He says, do not sound the trump. Isn't that what we want to do? Look what I have done for my children. Or haven't done. He says, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. You mean they do it in church and out of church? They do it in church and they do it out on the street. Jesus said, don't do that. Because what they're doing is that they may glorify or have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now all rewards aren't good rewards, are they? That's what He's saying. What He's saying is if you do those things, you're going to get what's coming to you. And I believe with all of my heart that a lot of us as men are getting what has come to us because of the things that we neglected over the years. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just speaking the truth. Maybe you're not guilty of it. Maybe I'm guilty and I'm the only one guilty. If that's so, to God, I ask you to help me to be a better father, grandfather, or even husband or pastor. But Jesus said, when you do your alms, when you do your kind acts, He says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. That's pretty plain, isn't it? If there's ever a plain preacher in the Bible, it was Jesus. He just said it like it is. Jesus preacher. So if you don't want me to be a Jesus preacher, you better start praying a little harder, because I want to be a Jesus preacher. And He says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. He said that your alms or your kind acts may be in secret. Now that's real important, because I'm going to touch on that a little bit later. He said that thine alms may be done in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret Himself shall reward thee openly. I was going to wait a minute, but I need to interject it right now. You know what the best kind act you can do for your children is? What this third paragraph says in the church covenant. You know what it says? Here's what it says. We engage to maintain family and secret devotions to religiously educate our children. Now, Jesus says here that if we give our kind acts or our alms in secret, He says, the Father which seeth in secret, He says, shall reward thee openly. I'm going to tell you, there's no greater reward than to have your grandson or your daughter standing before the congregation of God's people and singing a song about how much Jesus loves me. It's no secret now. I got a blessing from that. I don't know if you did, but I did. That's one of the greatest Father's Day gifts a child can give to their father, is to know that they love the Lord and that they've got a time and place that they can go back to, that they know they're saved by God's grace. And you know what? If you're saved by God's grace, you have to do that secretly between you and God. I'm going to read the rest of this. This is later on in the sermon, but if you're going to be a Jesus preacher, you've got to follow the Spirit. He says, we also engage to maintain family and secret devotions. A lot of people say, well, if I just do one devotion, that's got to cover it. But that's not what it says. It says it's plural. We do it religiously in secret devotions to religiously educate our children to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. Now, we talk about acquaintances. That means our neighbors too. To walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagement, and exemplary in our deportment, our behavior. He said to avoid tattling, backbiting, excessive anger, to abstain from the sale of and the use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage, to be zealous in the efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. He said, we further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember one another in prayer, to aid one another in sickness and distress. He says to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and Christian courtesy and speech, slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and being mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. Now, why would Jesus say, if you're going to give acts or alms or kind acts, He says, do it in secret, and if you'll do it in secret, God will reward thee openly. He'll do that in many ways. And we'll talk about those maybe later. But let's get back. Now He says that you know how to do these kind acts. He said, now let's talk about prayer. How many people, when they pray, they want to be heard by other people? Or how many, when they pray, they demand repetition? When Jesus says that you go to pray, fathers, He says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt shut the door. He says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, but they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. He said, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He said, but thou, when thou prayest, He says, enter into thy closet. He said, when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. openly. Two times he said this. He will reward thee openly if you'll spend a little time with me in prayer. In your closet. That means physically in your closet. If that means getting away from the world and physically shutting the door and getting in your closet or your war room. Haven't even seen that movie War Room. I'll tell you, that's what that's talking about. If you haven't seen that movie War Room, I would encourage you to get a copy of it today and watch that movie, because that's what that means, to get in your closet and pray to God. You got a problem? You need some help? Get in your closet and pray. Praise God, right, Brother Don? It works, doesn't it? It works. And if you're not saved, you got a bigger problem than anybody here today. I'll just say that right now. I'm going to end up with that. You're going to find out what I'm talking about in just a few moments of time. But let's move on. He said, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. He said, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, you are the holy of the holies. There's none greater, higher. You are sovereign. You are chief. You're the only one that deserves to be prayed to. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He says, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. He said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. He said, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But he didn't stop there. What he's saying is, when you pray, remember these elements in your prayer as you're offering them up to God. But you know, a lot of us, when we get done with the prayer, we might still have some ought against a brother or a friend or a neighbor on our heart. That, you know what he said we should have done? Left it right there. Why would he say that? Because Jesus said, listen to what he said. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive, not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Conditional, isn't it? Absolutely it is. So today, as we get ready to go into this message, I hope and pray that this will be a lesson to us as fathers, to do as our Sunday school teacher said this morning, and it wasn't in the lesson, but he brought it into the lesson. He brought in Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to turn over there, and I want to read this, and then we're going to get into the meat of the subject that the Lord has laid upon our heart. First of all, we live in a society where children are very, for the most part, disobedient to their fathers, their mothers, but more importantly, they are disobedient to God. I didn't think I'd hear an amen. But it's true. Is it not true? Is it not true that we find ourselves, even as God's children, not being obedient, but yet we demand our children to be obedient? Paul said to the church, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. If we'll do it in the Lord, this will be right. He said, for it is right. He says, honor thy father and thy mother. And that's what we're trying to do. Not only our heavenly Father, but I am honoring those fathers through God Christ. When our children started coming into the world, they gave me a birth certificate and a bill. They did not give me a manual that says, this is how you're going to raise your children, did it? God already did that. Here's the manual. Everything we need to know to properly raise our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord is right here. So, we as fathers, we honor our father and mother, which is the first promise with commandment. And the commandment of the first on earth. Now, is oxymoron, is that the right word? Does that mean oxymoron? Does that mean something that you say really means something else? Because you know what? The Bible, you might say, contradicts itself. Because it says life is short. Or does it? It's not contradicting itself. The Bible says we honor our father and mother, our lives will be long upon the earth. That will mean life will be longer, but it sure will be more blessings every day of the short life that we have. Because James said, life is but a vapor that appears for just a little while, and then it vanishes away. So we've only got a short span of time to get this thing right. What I'm saying. That's what the scriptures are saying. We've got a very short time. Have I ever talked to you about the dash? Anybody know what I'm talking about? The dash. The dash. Everybody's got a dash. Did you know that? And we're dashing to the end. Everybody's got a date that they're born on a gravestone, right? But then there's the dash. Sister Susan stepped out, but you see on that dash, she's got a date that's pinned down in that dash. June the 19th, 25 years ago today, she got it right. But at the end of the dash, there's another date. Mine's going to say December the 22nd, 1962. Ronald Spurgeon was born. Actually, Ronald Jean, if you want to know. Ronald Jean Spurgeon was born to Harold and Wilma Jean Spurgeon. Harold Jean and Wilma Jean. We was all just Jeans. I don't know why they did that, but they did it. That's just my name. Harold Jean and Wilma Jean have Ronald Jean. Now that sounds silly, doesn't it? But it is what it is. But they set me on a course of life. And through my life, there's going to be a dash, and at the end, I don't know when it's going to come. It's going to be sooner than later. But if I can put it in the ground, and I pass through this life, at the end of my dash, there's going to be a date, and that's it. You've got to have at least this part of that dash right. You've got to have it right. That's why he said that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then he says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, somebody might say, well, that means you shouldn't make your children angry. I feel like it has a deeper meaning than that. The last thing we want is for our children to experience the wrath of God. God is a God of love. We sung about it. But the last thing you want is for your children to experience the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is real. The last thing I want for anybody, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you are, is to experience the wrath of God. And you don't have to. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, how do we do that? And how do we know that we have done exactly what God wants us to do? First of all, you may say, Brother Spurgeon, you're preaching to the choir. But whether I am or whether I'm not, I want you to understand today, whether you're a father, whether you're a mother, there's nothing more important in this life than taking at least an hour every week and having your children in church. So that they'll know what to do to escape the wrath of God. You say this, Brother Spurgeon, I'm not very talented. I want to go to a parable now in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew to conclude the message today. And for the first time in my life, I preached from these talents. One person got 5 talents, one got 3 talents, one got 1 talent, or one got 2 talents, one got 1 talent. I'll read in a minute to make sure I'm right. But you know what? Every time I looked at those talents, I was thinking to myself, you know, maybe that's my ability. I was looking at it wrong. In this parable, I'd like for you to look at those talents as souls. You say, Brother Spurgeon, why would you look at them as souls?
Why would I look at a talent and say, well, this is a soul? But you see, what you want to hear is when you face the Lord Jesus Christ on that last day, is what two words do you want to hear? What two words do I want to hear? I'll tell you what those two words are. Well done.
Did you get this right?
If you got this right, at the end, God's going to say, well done.
Now let's turn over there, 25th chapter, verse 14, and I want to point out why that I have come to that conclusion today, that the Lord evidently was talking about souls and how that we as God's people, men in particular, you say, why men? I'm going to tell you why men, because men are to be the spiritual leaders of the household. I failed miserably at it, I'll be honest with you. It took me a long time to even learn and grasp that. My children were half grown. Keep in mind, I was 29 years old when God called me to preach. I already had four children. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two. So I stand corrected, it's two, not three. And he says, unto another one, one. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, you can read that and get this picture in your mind, but I want you to think about this for just a moment. God has entrusted you with five souls. Maybe He's entrusted you with two souls. Maybe He's entrusted you with one soul. You say, well, Brother Spurgeon, I thought it was God. I'll tell you, it is. But you know what? God requires of us to make sure first of all, we as men, as fathers, how can we tell someone else how to be saved if we're not saved ourselves? You say, Brother Spurgeon, how did you come to that conclusion? Because of the last verse in this parable. Don't go there yet. Stay with me. He said, then he that had received the five talents went, traded with them, and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went, he digged into the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now I'm going to tell you, there's no greater value than the soul of a person. There's no greater value than the soul that is in Korah, the soul that is in these children, the soul that is in you, the souls that are here. That's the most valuable thing. And yet there are people that will give just silly things in exchange for their souls. But me as a father, I'm responsible for my children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren. You say, why? Because he called me to preach and to pastor. But I also recognize the value of these souls. If there's one thing I understand, it's the wrath of God. You said you've experienced it. I've experienced the trouble in my heart and in my soul that I did not want to experience in eternity. So I pleaded with God and became a beggar and said, Lord, would you please save me? This man that had five, he went out. He must have been a pretty good worker for the Lord because he gained five men. The next man, listen to what it says. You see, the Lord, He walked on the earth. But He's entrusted His church with the souls of these children. Did you know that? This is real. Our King has gone back to heaven, but He's coming back. And when He comes back, don't say, well, I'll wait till then to get this thing right. Don't wait till then, it may be too late. But He's coming back, and when He comes back, look at what it says. After a long time, it says this, but he that received one went and digged, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants, He cometh and He reckoned with them. And so when he had received 5 talents, came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside thee 5 talents. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, for thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that received 2 talents came, and he said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. He didn't say, why didn't you give me 5? He didn't say, why didn't you give me 10? He took the 2 that he had and did the best that he could. All you may have is more.
Get it right. Get it right.
But that one that had 2 talents, he said, behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, same thing. He didn't say, well done, you did pretty good. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he came that had received 1 talent. He said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. This thing called religion, this thing going to church, it's just a little too hard. It's too hard to serve God. It's too hard to do the things that you want me to do. I don't have the talent. I don't have the ability. I don't have the energy. And why do we not have the energy? Because we're just doing everything and anything and gathering all this stuff and giving to our children, and we're doing this and we're doing that. And yet, but you know what? You forgot the one important thing. You forgot the one important thing. He said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathered where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid my talent in the earth. He said, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I had to receive mine own with usury. It's almost like he leaves the option open. I give 1 5, I give 1 2. Why didn't you go and talk to them? They surely would have helped you and pointed you in the right direction. Is that my job today? It is. I can point you in the right direction. I can point you in the right direction. I can point you in the right direction. But unless you take the initiative to do it, there's not anything else I can do. You say, this is hard message today, Brother Spurgeon. I thought she was going to be nice to us. Oh, you get this right and you'll find out how nice it is to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to the one that has 10 talents now. See? You could have done that. You could have done that a long time ago. For everyone that hath shall be given, and there shall be of abundance. But to him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And then in verse 30. How are you going to help somebody else with their talent, with their soul, if you hadn't got yours right yet? First, Daddy. How do I know that? Because this is what he said. Cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's pretty pretty much to the point, isn't it? How many are sitting in a church today where a preacher will preach, tell you the truth, and then leave it up to you and God to get this thing right? Oh, now that pastor, that preacher, he'll pray with you. He'll pray for you. But a good preacher and a good pastor that is a Jesus preacher, you know what they'll do? They'll turn you over to Jesus and let you and Jesus work that thing out. That's what you need to do. If you want to be a better father, if you want to be a good father, and I thank God for all the fathers that truly are born again and have eternal salvation, get this thing right. I'm not saying that you're not a good father, that you're not taking good care of your family. I'm not saying that at all. I'm telling you that you can be the best earthly father that there ever has been and ever will be. But if you don't get your soul right with the Lord, the Bible says it's all going to burn up. Then who will have those things? Doesn't sound like a very pleasant ending to this message, but it's what God laid upon my heart. And I truly want to encourage everybody that if you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, get in there and work with and for the Lord, because we need your help. We need it. You say, does God need my help? That's why He left His church here, to spread the gospel to the entire world. Thank you for listening to me today. I really appreciate this opportunity. And what more can I say? I can say these words and just look at the Lord's hand, and that's what I'll do. But I want to thank you for coming today. Well, thank you for listening today. I want to encourage you to come back. Learn more. Learn all you can about the Lord. You're going to find it. He's good. He's great. I'll let you down. He won't never let you down. He'll be there for you when I can't. I'll tell you, that's my Heavenly Father. I want to give all glory and honor to Him. I'm glad I know Him in my heart. And I hope you do too. That's our message. Standing together. Brother Jimmy, let's have another song. Altar's always open. Even as we're singing this song, if you feel like you need to come and pray, you say, well, let's talk about it. The Bible may never come. You may be gone before it gets here. The Lord may come back before it gets here. All you have is right now. Do this thing right. You don't feel like you have it right, but stick to the Lord and say, you know that it's right. How do you know it's right? Then put a peace and a joy in there that you'll be able to see. And when He does, tell somebody what He did for you. I'd like to hear it, but nobody else does. I want to hear it. I love to hear what God does for His people and for His children. And what an honor and privilege it is to be counted and numbered with that wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Host. As we stand and sing, let's come around and shake hands with each other. If you feel like you can pray for a season, pray for a while before you leave today. Just come on and pray. Don't forget to pray with you. Let God, just let God have the right to
you.
Let's gather around Him and pray. It's His prayer. It's on.
that he's going to have to pray. And I promise we'll pray with him. You pray with him and for him. And as we all come together, let's pray. And you pray too. Strong. You pray until you know that God touches your heart and he'll roll that burden with you. Lord, as we come before your presence, we know that you are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So I pardon you. Fill me, Lord, with your presence. And this is a sincere man. By words, the Lord, no doubt, his heart is broken today, but that's what it says. It's more that a person can be saved by your glorious grace. They have to feel the conviction, child of God. Well, I don't know where he's from. Doesn't matter. But you know all about him. You know you knew he would be here today. That this message, dear Father, that was for all of us, dear God, that he might seek you and know you in the free pardon of sin. Lord, help him hear the meditation of his heart and the prayer, Father, that comes from within. And Lord, it's not the words that we say out loud. It's not the words that we say internally. But it's the words that you need to hear. And those words can be as simple as, I'm sorry that I'm a sinner and that I need mercy. And that you can reach further down. We can reach up. And God, I just pray that you would take this whole situation into your hands. Get me out of the way. I'll mess it up. But God, you've never messed anything up. And so I pray, Mr. Armstrong, I pray that the world hears him soon say that he knows where he's going when this life is over. And I pray, God, that it will be that eternal home that you went to prepare for all of your children. You said that you prepared hell for the devil and his angels, but those that do not repent of their sin, those that are saved and feel like you, that they know that they know that they're saved, and they'll be cast off into the lake of fire. But God, there's a place that you've gone to prepare. And Father, we know that you prepared that for those that you love. And I know that you love him. And I know that you love everybody here today. And God, I want to thank you for your eternal salvation. I want to thank you for your saving grace. I want to thank you that you saw fit to bring me to an altar of repentance at my bedside one night. I'm glad you don't even have to get church to be saved. But I do know that you have to meet the condition of a broken heart and a crushed spirit, and you'll take that with those broken pieces and you'll put it back together and put peace in there. So I pray for this, my friend, my neighbor. I pray for him, dear God, that he would pray until he knows that he's saved by the glorious grace that only you can give. Help him, Lord, to pray every waking hour, every moment of this time that he has here on this earth. And we know that time is short. And we have few days. And that's what Patty said. It's few days and full of troubles. But thank you that we can pray our way out of trouble. Thank you that I pray our way out of trouble. And thank you that you still have your arms open and your ears attentive to his prayer. And I pray that he'll reach out. And the woman did that day. But I think just to touch the hem of your garment so that the power that you have from your lofty throne of grace and mercy, it reached out and did it so. Lord, please, I beg for mercy for his behalf and beg that you would remove all the stumbling blocks. It's not what he's done in the past. It's what's right now. And may you surrender it all to you. If you can give him that peace and joy that only you can give as satisfies that hungry soul. Lord, we desire to see someone saved today. We desire to see everyone that leaves this building today to have that full blessed assurance that they know that they're going to heaven when this life is over. Thank you again for passing by. And thank you for helping us today. Please forgive us for our failures. Please, Jesus, have mercy. And thank you again for being here today and manifesting your Holy Spirit. Thank you again. And may you receive all the glory and honor both now and forever. Jesus, we thank you and pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So,
thank you. Brother's church, and I just have to say that I'm especially thankful to be here this year with Dad. This has been a really rough year for me. We're really scared as a daughter. I'm not family. Know everybody here but that man does outside of here.
Amen.
He takes care of her. He takes care of this one. He takes care of his mom, his mother-in-law.
Amen.
And he never, ever, ever complains. I don't know how he does it. Literally, I have no idea. But he does. I never thought I would see him be a songwriter anywhere. But he's that too. And I'm thankful that he was the kind of dad that sometimes figuratively drove me here. I've realized I've gotten old because I look at these little girls today that are wearing pants in the world, and I think all I know is their daddy's not Jimmy Hicks because he would never let me have a house like that. And I haven't been perfect. I was never the perfect daughter, but and he's not perfect. But he was a really, really good, is a really good dad. And I'm just so thankful for him and my mom that they brought me here. Like I said, sometimes probably against my will, but he made sure that I was here mostly every Sunday. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate the kind of dad
he is. Amen. God bless you. I appreciate the conversation. Anybody else have anything on your mind?
Hey, you got a
hooker
looper.
Ron's first.
This is like I came to this church. I came to this church on his first day. I sat back here on the back door. And I looked at all the call and I went, I want. I just let those other faith know. Last little bit, I said, I need to change my life. $1 million. They used to say $1 million. I wouldn't have $1 million. No way.
Why would you want to bring some back if you're going there?
Right.
I'm just waiting. When you call them, I'll answer. Ed, it's been just wonderful being here today. I appreciate Sister Cindy's honesty. That was hard. That was hard for me to preach. She prayed for me.
Yes.
And I'll preach what the Lord wants and not what I want to preach. And I love you. Not what you love me. Hallelujah. Anybody else have anything on your heart?
Well, let me get over my heart again. It's been 25 years that Satan is in church. Something like that.
Amen.
So when my mother came here, she was ill. And she was always there to put me on the ear.
Amen. Amen. Bible says affection, fervent prayer of a righteous man. It means person. May you look so much. It works. Anybody else?
Pray for your daddy. Thank you.
Amen. All hearts and minds are there. Brother Quinn. Would you pray? Are you the eldest people we have? I love you. I don't mean that with disrespect. I honor him.
Yeah.
I honor him. His years of dedication and service. And for what he's done. And what an honor it is for him to be able to pray. I love this church. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this study. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your message of truth that we heard. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for each one that makes us this body. You know, Heavenly Father, we love all of us. We love this church, Heavenly Father, we want to see it grow. Pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are still seeking the Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us, Lord, in all ways to be what you would have us to be. Lord, that our church might be what you had it to be, and we might be what you have us to be. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of your blessings. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the revival that is going to start tonight. Pray, Heavenly Father, that we might hear the source of those who have saved us. Forgive us, Lord, for the sins and errors and mistakes. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for salvation.
Amen. I failed to make mention. Pray for the Brown family. He was going to get a procedure. Remember, they were here last week. They're moving from Greenville, South Carolina. They said they're coming back. They have 11 children. All of them grown with children. Said to bring them here.
Come on,